You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Today begins our summer preaching series. We actually will have three throughout the summer. Throughout the month of June, we will be exploring, during the 4 weeks of June, we'll be exploring the book of Jonah. We read chapter 1 this week, and we'll read a different chapter subsequently each week as we walk through this very meaningful, provocative book that teaches us some very real truths about God's life, as we will be focused on that. So feel free to follow along, read through, read up, read ahead, do all those things as we go through Jonah this month of June. In July, we will be covering 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, the epistles that are near the end of the New Testament. We'll be looking at each of those one a week throughout the month of July. And then be ready for the excitement that is to come in August and early September. During those 6 weeks, the 5 weeks of August and the first week of Labor Day weekend in September, we will be looking at the last 6 books of the Old Testament: Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Go tell all of your friends. How exciting. But seriously, how many of you have read Haggai? Who can tell me who Zephaniah was? Well, I see people who should be here every week, August into September. But indeed, it is a gift during the summer to kind of explore our Holy Scripture and to look at the ways in which we can become more familiar with this, the first language of our faith, the Bible. And so I invite us into that this summer, and we begin with our first chapter here in the book of Jonah. Now, a little bit of background for you as we think about this book. Context, whenever you read Scripture, is important. The context in which the story is written, the context in which the story is about, helps us to truly understand what we are to get out of this book. Now, let me do a little word association with you. When I say Jonah, what image comes to mind? Wow. I couldn't have guessed that. Of course. Exactly. Exactly. Jonah and the whale is a story that we tell throughout our lifetime. We tell it to our younger kids. But like so many things and stories we tell in the Bible, while the whale is indeed an important piece of this story, the whale really is kind of a minor character. The main character is Jonah and the journey that he goes on, which is one of which we can all be familiar. Now, Jonah, who is the son of Amittai, is mentioned in the Bible earlier in 2 Kings. He was a prophet speaking at a time of King Jeroboam. Now, you may recall that King David and King Saul had united all the tribes of Israel into one kingdom. There was one kingdom, Israel. But then after Solomon died, there was a power struggle between his sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and all of those different things that happen when dynasties crumble. And so there became two kingdoms of the tribes of Israel. There was the northern kingdom of Israel with their capital at Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah with their capital in Jerusalem. Now, Jonah was a prophet who was speaking to the leaders, and someone who was speaking on behalf of God to the leaders and the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was doing so during the 8th century, probably sometime in between 780 to 740 BC. Now, what is so interesting is that in 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire, who was the dominant empire there in that area during the time of Jonah and Israel and Judah, the Assyrian Empire invaded the northern kingdom and in 722 destroyed the northern kingdom and move them away. They were known for their ruthlessness. They were known for their treachery, and they had been known for that for centuries, the way that they treated those whom were around them. So this would have been known to Jonah. Now as we read the very beginning of this story, we hear this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he said, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and let me ask you." Nineveh was the capital city of what empire? The Assyrian Empire. It was the great city of the oppressive world power that was causing so much trouble and pain for the people of Israel. So God comes to Jonah and says, "Jonah, go to that great city Nineveh and proclaim my word to them." And you know what? I can imagine that for Jonah, as for us, when we feel called to something like this that is so difficult, I would imagine that we come to that with one of two different emotions. One, perhaps the reason that Jonah flees, the reason that Jonah runs away, is because Jonah is afraid. He knows the stories of what the people in Nineveh have done, what the kind of torture and treacherous acts that this oppressive power, foreign power, does and has done to so many of people that he even knew. I can imagine that the idea of going there would be one akin to going into enemy territory. Maybe a soldier has to do that, or others that have to do that, for whom that would be absolutely terrifying. Can't we experience that? Perhaps even on a smaller scale, have you ever had to go into work and face somebody who you didn't want to face? Or have you ever had to go to school when you felt like somebody was giving you a hard time and maybe you were a little scared of that? Perhaps you've had a moment in your life where you messed up and you had to go to your parents and tell them. Remember that feeling of fear? Remember those moments where you were just scared and all you wanted to do was run away? I think we've all felt that before, and I believe that is really a feeling that would have been very real for Jonah as well. A fear of what going to Nineveh would bring for him. I know in my life as a pastor, when I have participated in pastoral acts or had to face a difficult situation, that I bring anxiety and fear to those, and I seek God's presence, but there are times where I just want to flee. It's a human emotion. So it's very possible that Jonah's experience of wanting to flee is because he was afraid, and I believe that was a part of it. But I would like to submit to you this morning, however, that I don't think it was the main reason he didn't go. I think the main reason he fled from this call from God to go to Nineveh, to go to that enemy city, to go to that place that he dislikes so much, I think the reason that he fled is because he had such an amazing faith in God. He trusted God to be the God whom God had promised to be. He knew God had been with him. He knew God had always surrounded him and been a God of love and grace. He knew that God had been that kind of God. So he did not go to his enemies. He would not go to the place that he despised. The reason? Because he knew that God would forgive them, and he did not want those damn Assyrians to get that kind of compassion. And I don't know about you, but I gotta admit, there's been times in my life
I wanted God to turn his back on people that had hurt me. Have you ever been hurt? Where it hurts you in your bones? Where it breaks your heart? Where it makes you absolutely shake because you've been so wounded? And the idea that you would go to them and say, here's the word of God for you, knowing that God is going to forgive them too, well, I can understand why Jonah fled. Because it is really hard when you trust God and you know God has an amazing ability for grace. And in some way, we know that grace extends even to the people who have hurt us, who we're afraid of, who have caused us pain. That's why I think he fled. He wasn't ready to deal with that kind of overwhelming compassion of God. And you see, the thing about the overwhelming compassion of God, though, is that it does extend to us in our fleeing as well. I have been met in my fleeing moments by probably the greatest amount of grace that I've ever experienced in my life. Whenever I've run, God brings me back. God runs after me, and God embraces me. God does the same here. You know, I said that the whale in our story is a minor character, and he is, but I think he serves a very important purpose. You see, I believe that the whale, as we are told in our scripture, he's fleeing, Jonah's on the boat, there are storms, and isn't that appropriate? That when we are fleeing in our hatred or when we're fleeing in our fear in our lives, those storms just keep coming. Have you ever noticed that? That when we're fleeing in fear or in hatred or frustration, the storms just keep churning. They keep churning. And you know what? He gets kicked off the boat by the people that go, we're not dealing with this anymore. Sometimes I think those are the people that speak truth to us in the midst of our own fear and hatred and storms, and we get kicked out. But guess what? We get kicked out into the unknown, but in the unknown, in the uncertainty, we get met by a grace of God. And in Jonah's situation, it was the grace of God of this whale that swallows him up. And the beauty is that God would not flee from Jonah in the midst of his own fleeing himself. It's beautiful. So many people get in arguments over whether there really was a big fish or really was a whale. You know, people I respect deeply say, this is a Hebrew folktale and it's meant to tell us a story. Okay. I also know that if God wants to keep some guy alive in a whale for 3 days, well, he made the world, I think he could do that too. I'm perfectly fine with it either way. But the problem is when you argue with each other, calling people who think it's a folktale, well, you're not Christian enough, or the people who believe it's a folktale telling the people who think it's real, well, you're out of touch. We're missing the whole point, because the point is that the whale showed up exactly when he needed sanctuary and he needed saving, and in that place, our Lord God met Jonah and led him on this journey. You see, the well for me is sanctuary. It's a sanctuary space where Jonah could hear the word of God speak again. The word of God that had caused him to flee, and now it would be the word of God that would give him strength. Because the reality, my friends, is this. There is nowhere that we can flee from that word of God that the Word of God cannot come and meet us yet again. In our fear, in our hatred, in our uncertainty, in our struggles, you may flee from God, but our God will never, ever flee from you. In Jesus' name, amen.